We thank Dr. Mercer for her words. And next, we'll hear Dr. Yvette Perfecto. She's professor of ecology and natural resources and environment at the University of Michigan, United States. She has studied agroecology in coffee systems and the interaction between plants and animals. The title of her talk is Breaking the Wall with Agroecology. Yvette. Good morning, companions, comrades. It's a pleasure for me to be here again with you, sharing some reflections about science. And today I'm going to talk about agroecology. And what stimulated this talk was a discussion with a group of companions before this meeting. There were some talks, and one of the talks was by Lev Jardon and Pilar Martinez. And they asked, what can we do with science when the interval between in that talk, they raised some questions to stimulate the discussion here in this encounter. What environment do science workers work in? What are the characteristics of science that allows us to transform the piece of the world that we study? And finally, how can we construct scientific practice that helps us to survive the storm and crack the walls of capital? So basically, this last question is the one that I want to discuss in this talk. How can we construct a scientific practice? Basically, we know that science historically has been at the service of colonialism. Science came to the Americas with the cross and the sword, imperialism and capitalism. Science has helped to strengthen the wall. But science has also been used as an arm to help to break that wall. This is a photo of a wonderful sculpture that's being opened. And that's what I want to talk about. How we can use the science, specifically the science of agroecology, as an example of how to break that wall. Agroecology has been described as practice, movement, and science. As a practice, there are a series of layers that strengthen the foundation of production and provide greater autonomy. We know these practices. They're things like diversification, conservation of soil and water, of native seeds, biodiversity, organic fertilizers, biological fertilizers instead of chemical fertilizers, biological control instead of chemical control, cycling of nutrients, etc. These are the agroecological practice. As a social movement, we have there's been a massification. There's been an increasing interest on the part of peasants in agroecology and agroecological practice. And here we see some examples of peasant schools, peasant agroecological schools, which is a manifestation of this agroecological movement in Latin America in particular. These are agroecological schools, examples of some of the hundreds of schools that have formed over the last 10 years or so. Examples from Ecuador, Argentina, Colombia, Mexico. And peasants and rural workers are those who have put agroecology on the world map. In this document, published by Why Hunger in the U.S., we can see how rural and urban peasants and workers perceive agroecology. And here are some quotes from these people. For example, these women farmers from the U.S. say that agroecology is a way of recuperating and reawakening a knowledge that we have within. Another farmer from Brazil says that everywhere, every place in the world should produce its own agroecology. Another farmer from the U.S., we're always studying, observing. In Haiti, agroecology is the only way to resolve the problem of hunger. In Guatemala, agroecology is a call to change the ways that we produce food. And another farmer from the U.S., agroecology is the accumulation of cultural and ancestral knowledge of peasants. One reason that agroecology has flowered among the peasants of the world, not just Latin America, is that it's based on local knowledge, traditional knowledge. It uses few inputs, inputs that can be produced locally and in the same plot, and it adapts to local conditions because those local deep knowledge are closely linked with local conditions. Agroecology as a science, which is the topic for today. Agroecology offers a living example of how committed scientists have managed to construct scientific practice to build to share to combat a industrial agriculture, capitalist agriculture. It's important to point out that agroecology is not neutral. No science is neutral because science is made by people. As people, we have our points of view, our experiences, our ideologies, and all of that influences how we do science. The questions that we ask, how we investigate those questions, how we collect our data, etc. So agroecology, it doesn't consider it a neutral science, but it's important to point out that basically, agroecology conceive itself as an alternative to industrial agriculture. So in that way, agroecology is a science that we could call it an activist science. Agroecology is a response to industrial agriculture. And that science has a point of view. We want to combat industrial agriculture to use science to develop new models of agriculture. And this science pretends to understand agricultural systems using ecological principles to inform agroecological management. These should be ways of managing that prevent deterioration of the environment, deterioration of the productive basis, that don't contaminate our bodies, that produce healthy food, and that do not deteriorate the ways of living of peasant people. The importance of agroecology as a science, we've seen some of that in the previous talks. The ancestral knowledge, traditional knowledge, local knowledge are not sufficient. They're very important, but they're not sufficient, especially now with climate change. But not just because of climate change. Sometimes people move, migrate from one place to another where environmental conditions are different. So those knowledges that they had of their locality of how to do agriculture in that place, they need to adapt them. They aren't directly applicable. So the science of agroecology helps us to develop some general principles that can help us to adapt to new conditions, whether because of climate change or because simply we've moved from one place to another. The science of agroecology is also important for intellectual defense of communities, as John mentioned. It's important that people know when a vendor of some magic bullet, that they can evaluate how viable that is, if it's really something that's valid, what the arguments are that are being presented to sell that product or to convince people to use it. Something that comes from industrial agriculture or something that comes from pseudoscience. So it's important to understand the scientific basis to be able to confront those other ideas. That's what we call intellectual defense of the communities. Science helps us to understand the world, to combat capitalism. So these are some of the reasons for which the science of agroecology is important, in addition to agroecology as practice and a social movement. Agroecology as a science is based on the science of ecology. John talked about that. And ecology is the study of interactions among organisms and between organisms and their environment. Ecology as a science has also evolved. The ecology of the 20s isn't the same ecology of the 60s. The ecology of the 60s isn't the same ecology as today's. Basically, we're accumulating information, knowledge that help us to support some ideas and to get rid of others. So an example of this is the idea of the balance of nature from the 1960s. 1960s ecology emphasized the balance of nature, ecological equilibrium. These were concepts that were key in the study of ecology and were taken up by the environmental movement, which still promotes these ideas of the balance of nature. But it's a seductive idea But scientists have proven that in most natural systems are not in a stable equilibrium, and there could be sudden changes from one system to another. What does that mean for agroecology? Well, it means that agroecosystems systems are not stable, they're not static. On the contrary, they're dynamic systems in constant change, sometimes in unpredictable directions. One example of this is coffee rust in coffee farms in Chiapas and Central America. In about 2012-13, there was a severe outbreak of rust. There was rust before, but something suddenly changed that made this outbreak occur, that it became a serious pest. Agroecology helps us to understand how this pest arises, comes up with some explanations. In the last 30, 40 years, the science of ecology has changed a lot. And one form of summarizing these advances is the concept of complexity, ecological complexity, which includes the concept of chaos, stochastic processes, multidimensionality, indirect interactions, critical transitions, like those I mentioned in coffee systems, the outbreak of rust, also spatial patterns and coupled oscillations like the ones John showed. These are concepts that have arisen in the last 30, maybe 40 years that help us to apply ecological concepts to agricultural systems and to understand these systems better, to design systems that are more productive, more sustainable. I'll give you some examples, two examples from our work in this zone of Chiapas, the coffee-producing region. This is from the Soconusco zone, where there was a lot of defoliation. There's a tree on the left, a shade tree in the coffee that's defoliated. And on the right, you can see a caterpillar that causes that deforestation. And walking through this farm with a farmer, we started to talk about this problem, and he said, "Don't worry, the migratory birds are coming, and they'll take care of that pest." And so we became interested in that. It piqued our curiosity, and we asked whether this was really happening, whether the birds have an impact. It was obvious because the farmer had told us that he'd seen this year after year, but we wanted to see if these birds have an effect really on the coffee, on the herbivores that are pests of coffee. So we did an experiment where we put out some screen, like a fishing net, to exclude the birds, and we sampled insects using these machines to suck the insects off the plants. And then we identified them, we classified them to see if they were herbivores or potential pests, or if they were natural enemies of pests, etc. And what we discovered in these experiments is that the knowledge, local knowledge, is observation that the birds are controlling herbivores in the coffee farm is true. some birds are directly eating herbivores, but through the experiments that we did, we saw that not just they don't just eat the herbivores directly, there are also birds that eat spiders, and those are spiders that form webs and trap parasitoids that are tiny wasps that parasitize the herbivores in the coffee farm. So in this indirect way, the birds have a positive effect on the farm, on the coffee. Not just directly how the farmers perceive it, but also indirectly through this food chain in which the birds eat the spiders, which eat the parasitoids of the herbivores. So how can we use this knowledge? Well, obviously, in coffee farms with shade, those are the ones that have lots of these birds. When you eliminate shade, you eliminate those trees, you're eliminating habitat for the birds. That means that we need to be promoting diverse coffee farms with a diversity of trees that attract birds that control the herbivores. Another example is one that the Zapatistas who were in my talk last year, they'll remember the story about the Azteca ants. The ant on the right eating a broca, which is a beetle that attacks the coffee, that it's on the coffee fruit. This ant is key in the system. The farmers of the zone have seen this ant eating the broca, eating the beetle, and they know that story. They've also seen that the ant has a positive association with coffee scales, which is a pest. So on the one hand, it has a positive effect, on the other, a negative effect. And that's what the peasants can observe in their fields. This is a tree-dwelling ant. It nests in the trees. So these two relations are easy visualized in the field. And people realize that the ant sometimes will eat a broca, but also that it is favoring, tending a coffee pest, the scales. Two contradictory things. We did a series of experiments over quite a long time, because what we found basically with a group of students and some other collaborators, that it's not just these two relations on the right, but that there are many other relationships, indirect relationships that contribute not just to the control of the broca, but also control of the scale, the coffee rust. So these are four potential coffee pests, and this interaction web, network of indirect interactions, is what that autonomously functions in this diverse system to control these pests of coffee. So this knowledge dialogue that John mentioned is very important for the advance of science. And many times we as scientists in interaction with peasants, with farmers, realize the things that they know, and we can do research that complements their local knowledge, their traditional knowledge. So, for example, we know that coffee can be cultivated in many different forms, from very diverse farms with lots of shade to monocultures. As one intensifies the coffee farm and eliminates the trees, we We get a monoculture of coffee, which is what industrial agriculture promotes, and the emphasis on quick profits, the emphasis on quick profits that promotes intensification of the coffee farms and the elimination of the trees. But what happens? When we eliminate the shade, we're eliminating habitat for the Azteca ant and for the birds. Eliminating these components, we're promoting the outbreak of future pests. The knowledge dialogue that I spoke about earlier is very important. And I hope this has given an idea of how this knowledge dialogue can happen between traditional knowledge and scientific knowledge. And the encounter of these two ways of knowing can be very powerful and can strengthen the science of agroecology and help us to break the wall. The science of agroecology should be part of the intellectual defense of the agroecological movement, of the peasant movement, and in my opinion, ecological complexity has more in common with indigenous cosmovisions than with agronomic science that have brought us the Green Revolution. It seems to me that there's more affinity between agroecological complexity and the cosmovisions that we find among original peoples. And how can we construct a scientific practice that helps us to survive the storm and crack the walls of capital, in this case, industrial agriculture? First, do agroecology for and with the people, as the woman from one of the caracoles said. The woman from La Garrucha. She said we need to do science for and with the people. That's essential. To do science not just to understand systems, but also to transform them. Not just understand the world, but transform it. That's why we're here. And agroecology should strengthen resistance by peasants, strengthen their autonomy, and the productive basis of their agricultural systems. And finally, science helps us to expose the contradictions of capitalism and its allies. And with that, I finish my talk. Thank you.
How's the battery on the recorder? It's still going?